This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Fed up with crime. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, June 8th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Voters in San Francisco used primary day to recall their district attorney amid a sharp rise in homicides and burglaries.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are focusing on how to keep guns away from potentially dangerous young adults.
Gas prices have reached another high, with more than a dozen states now seeing the average for a gallon of regular topping $5.
And Generation Z struggling to find a mission-driven job with a paycheck to cover the bills.
Well, they're just in a tough spot, Gordon, because, you know, they're a very socially conscious generation, generally speaking, and yet they're also walking out in this, you know, sort of strange pandemic phase where you've got sky-high inflation, housing costs are out of control, and of course, a lot of them have crushing student loan debt to pay off.
Callum Borchers at the Wall Street Journal on financial worries testing the social consciences of today's youngest workers. The progressive movement has taken a hit in California. San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin was recalled on primary day. Mr. Boudin and other progressive prosecutors around the country have pursued goals such as sending nonviolent drug offenders to treatment instead of jail, sparing juveniles from being prosecuted as adults, and scrutinizing police misconduct. Burglaries have risen 45% since he became DA, and homicides have increased 37%. Mr. Boudin, after losing.
And I want to be very clear about what happened tonight. The right-wing billionaires outspent us 3-1. They exploited an environment in which people are appropriately upset.
Meanwhile, in the race to be mayor of Los Angeles, real estate developer Rick Caruso and Democratic Congresswoman Karen Bass will advance to a runoff in November. Mr. Caruso attempted to tap into voter frustration over a persistent homelessness crisis and rising crime. Democratic and Republican negotiators seem to be zeroing in on a specific set of proposals designed to keep guns out of the hands of potentially dangerous young adults. In recent days, Republican negotiators in the Senate suggested openness to closer scrutiny of juvenile records while sidelining a proposal to raise the minimum age to buy certain weapons to 21 years old. Texas Republican John Cornyn.
I think a focus on mental health and criminal background history is probably going to be the most productive. But there's a range of things. We know that this is not a single point of failure. This is a multiple points of failure.
Several relatives of those killed in recent shootings visited Washington yesterday to urge action. Also in town was actor Matthew McConaughey, a native of Uvalde, Texas, scene of a school shooting that left 19 children and two teachers dead.
Can both sides see beyond the political problem at hand and admit that we have a life preservation problem on our hands?
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York said he would give negotiators until at least the end of the week to reach a deal. The price of gas is up again today. AAA says the cost of a gallon of regular as of this morning is now $4.95, up nearly $2 a gallon from a year ago. Surging gas prices have topped a whopping $5 per gallon in more than a quarter of the country and are expected to climb even higher as the summer travel season gets underway. Price data from AAA show that the statewide average of a gallon of gas eclipsed the $5 threshold in Maine, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, bringing the total to more than a dozen states. Analyst Patrick DeHaan at Gas Buddy.
It could probably continue for the summer with maybe some moderate relief in fall, but this overall era of high prices could stick around for several years.
Last month, an analyst at JP Morgan Chase warned that gas prices could surpass $6 per gallon by the end of the summer. The global energy market has struggled to keep pace with demand for months. As countries reopen from the pandemic, the Russian invasion of Ukraine has further disrupted shipments and contributed to a recent surge in oil prices.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Nearly 18 months after leaving office and with his trademark Twitter account still suspended, former President Trump continues to crop up in the news. With President Biden shying from the spotlight and struggling to get his message to resonate, Mr. Trump commands a media presence much larger than that of a typical ex-president. So says Haston Willis, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. Haston, explain.
Yeah, it's something I had noticed just throughout Trump's, Biden's term in office, that there's just been a lot of Trump coverage. He remains in the headlines. I sometimes do like a control F search for different websites and a search for Biden, search for Trump. And sometimes you'll see more Trump headlines on a given news website than you do Biden. I interviewed a historian named David Garrow back in February, and he had written a book about the rise of of Obama. And he talked about how it seemed like Obama faded from the headlines so quickly after leaving office. Whereas Trump, what he told me was it sometimes feels like we're still living in the Trump presidency, almost like he's still in office based on the intensity of the coverage. And so that's what kind of sparked my interest in doing this story. And I spoke to him again. Also spoke with a Republican strategist named John Fiore, and both of them kind of said the same thing, that yeah, that there was a lot of Trump coverage. And the other prompt, of course, was that the January 6th hearings are going to be broadcast in prime time on Thursday and later this month. And again, that's going to be just a whole lot of Trump coverage. I mean, it's about January 6th, but January 6th is basically about Trump.
Yeah. And as you said, it's been good for ratings. Mr. Trump is good for ratings.
Yeah, and that was something else I pointed out in my story. Ratings for cable news television and like news websites, their traffic has been way down basically since the day that Biden took office, and has remained down. So again, that's just another piece of this that Trump is good for ratings, for better or worse, and you know, keeping him in the headlines. There may be some of that going on there as well, that people see that people are still interested in Trump and are continuing to cover him for that reason as well.
Wow. We're speaking with Haston Willis, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. His piece is called Biden Remains Stuck in Trump's Shadow. You said, too, in your piece of President Biden, it's rumored, I guess, is frustrated with his staff about the way they tend to step in and clean things up if he's made a perceived gaffe.
Yeah. There's been a lot of coverage of that lately. There seems to be, I guess, people are saying there are leaks coming out of the White House, like, you know, anonymous sources talking about this, that Biden is frustrated. It's certainly been a trend throughout his presidency that he will speak off the cuff and make very direct statements, such as calling Putin a war criminal, saying Putin can't remain in office. And then his staff will very quickly, within a few hours, issue a statement that sort of clarifies or cleans up what he says. So these stories that have come out in the last few days have said that he is frustrated with that. He doesn't like them doing that. He wants his statements to stand as they are. They're more authentic that way, and he does not like them being walked back. And, you know, and who knows what's really happening behind the scenes, but those are the reports. The other thing is that that Biden has not been doing a lot of media appearances just in general. His last sit-down interview with a member of the press was on February 10th, ahead of the Super Bowl. And to give you an idea of how long ago that was before the invasion of Ukraine even began.
Right.
And then his next interview is going to be this week with Jimmy Kimmel. So, but he went the entire month of March, April, and May without a major network interview, which again is fueling more coverage of Trump, I would say, because if there's just less to write about for Biden, if he's not appearing as much in the press, then you know, people have to write about something, and some of them are going to focus on what Trump may be up to.
And I guess along those lines, Haston, you pointed out, I mean, he I guess generally speaking, generates zero live TV coverage when he does speeches and things. So does that indicate our lack of interest?
Yeah, I guess that maybe there's a chicken or the egg. Is it that there's a lack of interest because he's not doing much, or is it he's not doing much because there's a lack of interest? Right. There were reports also that came out, I think, last week that apparently when he does do speeches, he's been doing some where he will, fly to a different location throughout the country and talk about the bipartisan infrastructure plan, which has been one of the, you know, the biggest victories, certainly the biggest bipartisan victory he's had in office. But yeah, that a lot of the times those are generating no live coverage. So no networks are actually cutting away. I think even cable networks, if I read that correctly, are cutting away to cover the speeches live, which obviously is not a good thing.
I think too, to a certain extent, you mentioned former President Obama before, but former President Trump has made a real effort to stay in the news. I'm not sure Mr. Obama did, but you know, Mr. Trump with the endorsements and things like that in this primary season.
Yeah, certainly. That is a big difference between the two. I think Obama was pretty much happy to move on and to kind of fade from the headlines, where, of course, Trump is Trump. He likes to be in the headlines. He wants to generate that coverage and is succeeding in doing so, needless to say, even with his Twitter account still suspended.
Thanks, Haston. Haston Willis, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned the U.S. is likely facing a prolonged period of elevated inflation. Speaking on Capitol Hill, Yellen said the White House would likely revise upward its inflation forecast, which already shows prices rising this year at nearly twice the pre-pandemic rate.
We're not the only country that's experiencing inflation. You can see that in virtually every developed country around the world.
Yellen's testimony came as the World Bank projected several years of high global inflation and tepid growth.
Number two.
The son of Ruth Whitfield, an 86-year-old woman killed when a gunman opened fire in a racist attack on black shoppers in Buffalo, challenged Congress to act against the cancer of white supremacy and the nation's epidemic of gun violence.
If there is nothing, then, respectfully, senators, you should yield your positions of authority and influence to others that are willing to lead on this issue.
Garnell Whitfield Jr.'s emotional testimony comes as lawmakers are working furiously to strike a bipartisan agreement on gun safety measures.
Number three.
Primary elections across seven states Tuesday set up November contests, including House battles in California that could tip the balance of power in Congress. Former Trump administration Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke was in a tight match to claim the Republican nomination for a new House seat in Montana. In Mississippi, Republican Congressman Steve Palazzo was forced into a runoff after a congressional ethics watchdog raised questions about his campaign spending. A 10-year-old girl has been arrested after Orlando police say she fatally shot a woman who was arguing with her mother. Witnesses told police the shooting occurred on the night of May 30th when the child's mother and the victim began arguing outside of an apartment complex. The child's been placed in the custody of the Florida Department of Children and Families. The child's mother is also in custody. When it comes to customer service, we like pet care company Chewy, but we don't care very much for the IRS. Forrester Research says no companies were rated excellent in its latest study, but Chewy claimed the top customer experience rating for the second consecutive year, while the IRS was found to have the worst customer experience of all brands and agencies surveyed. Auto manufacturers that have been rocked by supply chain shortages and airlines and hotels trying to restabilize staffing levels saw their industry averages drop by a significant amount.
Mm. Just think of like the marketing around that. The IRS, we need your money. And versus Chewy, here's some cute things for your dogs.
Right.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Lumber prices are lower, but there's still a lack of it that continues to add to the housing shortage in the U.S. Could this mean lower prices for homes? We're joined now by Terry Collins, money and tech reporter at USA Today. Terry, what's happening with lumber?
So here's what's happening right now. Lumber prices are falling pretty dramatically from where we were just maybe around, I guess, say in March. We've seen just a huge, significant drop in the pricing. Like I said, I was trading for as much as $1,300 from peak price of about $1,700 about this time a year ago. Now lumber is trading below $600 as I last checked on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So where there was an issue, of course, of lumber prices being too high to build homes, now it's falling pretty drastically. But right now, also, as a part of a dichotomy, you know, lumber's in scarce supply.
Yeah. Why the drop at this point, Terry?
Right now, it's kind of weird right now. I think a lot of it has to do with, of course, that aforementioned scarcity. Also, you know, at the time, houses aren't being built fast enough. The range of where we used to take at least between 4 to 6 months, now it takes almost as much as 8 months to build a house. And of course, as I mentioned, supply, that's one of the bigger things. And so when it's not so much in demand, you know, price is fluctuating.
Yeah.
You know how the markets go. It can go up or down, but right now it's just a huge drop. And it is interesting.
And yet there is still technically a lumber shortage.
Yeah. So, you know, we, the U.S., I should say, relies heavily on Canadian imports. And right now there's this tariff that's kind of like between the U.S. and Canada, strange enough allies, that's kind of like keeping lumber kind of like at so much of a standstill, because not only I guess countries like Canada have to look at, they also have to depend upon Canada. You know, is a big importer of lumber, so it's not just the U.S. It's also other countries around the world that are also seeing somewhat housing spikes as well, and so the demand for lumber is there as well. And so U.S. and Canada hopefully can work something out to where there may be more lumber coming in, but for right now it's not enough coming in that's going to meet, I guess, what the supply and demand is here in the U.S. Some put it between 1.5 million and 2 million homes that they say need to be built, you know, to keep up with the supply and demand here in the States.
Yeah. We're speaking with Terry Collins, money and tech reporter at USA Today. His story is called Lumber Prices Are Falling. Could prices in the housing market follow? Just to kind of answer the headline question that's proposed, what could this mean for home prices?
There's a possibility. You know, 9 out of 10 new single-family homes built in the U.S. are wood frame. So there's a heavy reliance on wood for, you know, the homes that we live in. According to the National Association of Home Builders, it may be a possibility that savings from lower lumber prices could reach consumers. Those who want to buy a house. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I think it's going to, we may see this over gradual. So I'm not going to say within the next 6 to 12 months, but you never know.
Thanks, Terry. Terry Collins, money and tech reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, June 8. Some of our top stories and headlines. Perceived as soft on crime, Chesa Boudin was recalled as San Francisco DA. D.C. lawmakers focus on juvenile records and background checks as part of gun legislation talks. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she very much hopes that high inflation will come down. Thousands of migrants continue their walk from southern Mexico toward the U.S. border. A Walmart heir leads a group set to buy the Denver Broncos for $4.6 billion. And how a California court ruled that a bumblebee is a fish. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. For many 20-something workers and new grads, a sense of mission is butting up against the need to make money. Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, says some are shifting their priorities or making compromises they might have criticized before entering the workforce. Cal, how so?
Well, they're just in a tough spot, Gordon, because, you know, they're a very socially conscious generation, generally speaking, and yet they're also walking out in this, you know, sort of strange pandemic phase where you've got sky-high inflation, housing costs are out of control, and of course, a lot of them have crushing student loan debt to pay off. And so when you put all that together, they're feeling this real push and pull between wanting a mission-driven job, but also having to make a good living.
Boy, the one guy you opened your story with, the new law school grad, Benjamin Nitzani, here he is. He's living in New York City, $100,000 in student loan debt during an inflation.
Yeah, and this is somebody who, you know, has a great heart. I mean, he's the son of immigrants. He's the first in his family to go to college. And he tells me that, you know, supporting causes like Jewish soup kitchens are really important to him. But he just doesn't see a low-paying public interest job as a viable option right now. He's got debts to pay. And so he can see a future in which he's able to be really picky about representing, you know, clients and causes that he's passionate about, he told me. But right now, I mean, he put it very bluntly. He said the most important thing when I was choosing a firm was that they're top of the pay scale.
These new priorities that Gen Z has, not long ago, they would have criticized themselves for assuming.
Yeah, you know, there's some great polling data on this by Deloitte, which for a few years has been surveying millennials and Gen Zers every year. And I thought there was an interesting shift in just a single year. I mean, a year ago, when they asked Gen Z, like, what's your top concern right now? Climate change was number one. Well, this year, they ask them, and all of a sudden, it's the cost of living, sort of for obvious reasons, right? They're much more concerned about personal finances. And again, a year ago, about half of the Gen Z cohort would say, well, I'm going to be really picky about the kind of job and the company I'm willing to work for based on my personal ethics. Well, that number is down to 37% this year. Still a big share. I mean, this is still a very, you know, selective and socially conscious generation. But it just shows as you know, financial pressures ramp up and as more of them age into the workforce, right? Because keep in mind, there are a lot of Gen Zs who are still in college who've never actually worked a full-time job in their lives. It's sort of a theoretical question. As they gain more experience, you know, they're realizing there are some harsh realities out there.
You said, too, each generation holds ideals that eventually collide with reality. Explain that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to pretend that this is a unique circumstance for Gen Zs. I mean, if you just look at the last couple of cohorts, I'm a millennial myself, so you know, I can remember walking out of college into the Great Recession. So that was certainly a sobering experience for a lot of people in my generation. And before that, you know, Gen X, a lot of those workers were early in their careers at 9/11. And of course, there was a recession that followed that as well. So this is a common experience for a lot of generations. You know, you're animated by social causes, you sort of have that youthful idealism, and then you get into the working world and there are financial pressures that come with that, and sometimes you have to make some compromises. What I'm hearing from some of these young workers that I think is interesting, Gordon, is that they're not necessarily looking for total fulfillment on the job. You know, some are saying, look, I'm realizing as I get a little bit older that I can draw a good paycheck, and then on my personal time, you know, I can volunteer for causes that I care about, I can make donations that I want to. I don't have to get all of my fulfillment from a job.
There was an interesting point that one of the young folks made that you spoke to, who said something along the lines of, do-gooders come from privilege. What do they mean?
Yeah, this is another layer to it that I think is interesting. This was a young man named Sammy, who he's another child of immigrants, who says, look, I have to get a good paycheck right out of school because I'm helping my mom buy a house. You know, well, that's a very different situation from a you know, somebody who comes from a degree of privilege whose parents are helping him, right? Maybe it's, yeah, you can stay on the family phone plan, you know, or we'll help you with the rent. And oh, by the way, we probably picked up the tab for much or all of college. his point was, when you see people, you know, my age who go full time out of college to a not-for-profit, he said, you can typically guess their background. They probably have kind of a safety net from mom and dad that allows them to take a low-paying job. He's not in that position.
Thanks, Cal. Callum Borchers, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the mic drop. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we have a couple of stories of interest to pest control professionals in New York, or at least those trying to avoid close encounters with unwanted vermin. We start in Albany, where a courthouse there was closed for fumigation yesterday after hundreds of cockroaches were released during an altercation that broke out at an arraignment. According to the AP, the clash broke out during proceedings in Albany City Court. A defendant who started to film the courtroom proceedings was told to stop. In the altercation that followed, hundreds of cockroaches brought into the courthouse in plastic containers were released. The bug release was being investigated while the courthouse was closed for the rest of the day for fumigation. Court officers arrested a 34-year-old woman in the audience for charges related to the altercation.
So cases or plastic containers of cockroaches are permitted past court security.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're usually pretty strict with what you're allowed to bring into a courtroom.
Right.
I mean, I guess they didn't set off the metal detector, right?
Yeah,
so maybe they were in a bag, you know, and they just kind of rolled through the metal detector, didn't set anything off. That's my guess. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot of cockroaches and a lot of containers that somehow just kind of made it on through.
That is just utter courtroom chaos.
I mean, can you imagine?
Utter courtroom cockroach chaos, if you will.
Yes. Imagine trying to find cockroaches, you know, in a huge courthouse, too. Imagine just trying to track those down and make sure they don't spread. And that's a big job.
I'll pass.
Yes. Yeah. And while nobody on earth wants to see cockroaches scurrying around, that would at least be in the range of normal for patrons visiting a bar in New York City, along with perhaps a rat sighting or two. But when a much larger animal was spotted intruding on one bar last week, it took someone from faraway Alaska to save the day. Sarah Fulton was branded a hero for stepping in to snatch an opossum that scurried into a bar in Brooklyn last week. Videos showed Fulton grabbing the opossum by the scruff, then walking out of the bar to send the marsupial on its way. Fulton, who hails from Alaska, said it was no big deal. The opossum is tiny compared to the moose family that used to live in her backyard there. Nevertheless, the Brooklynites at the bar were extremely grateful, buying her so many free rounds that it turned into a party.
Save us! Save us!
Yeah, they said it was just utter chaos in the courtroom. It was utter chaos in this bar, from what I understand.
Seems
just,
like
you know, people jumping up on bars, running out, screaming, that kind of thing.
Especially in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you know, 24 years old and have like no outdoor wildlife experience whatsoever.
Yes, you see nothing but concrete all day long, and you don't see. And again, people saw this thing kind of scurry in, and they thought, you know, again, first it could have been a rat, but it was too big to be a rat, but too small to be a dog, and just kind of weird looking enough that it sent everybody, you know, kind of running out screaming.
Good for this woman. I'd just be so afraid of like getting bit and then getting some sort of disease.
Right,
you
know, rabies or something like that.
Thing.
Yeah, she seemed to have no problem. Bare hands and all. Right. Pick it up by the scruff and toss it on out.
That's why we have dogs. Who made a capture on Friday, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Of a groundhog.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Didn't end well.
I'm sorry
to report.
I have to assume. Was it just one, or did they all kind of get together on this?
No, two dogs, if you will, like played tug of war.
Oh, boy.
And it was not good. It was ugly scene.
Were you sent in to clean up that situation afterwards?
Yeah, I got the panicky texts coming off the golf course.
Husband duty. Yeah.
Come home now.
Mm-hmm. Enjoyable.
Thanks, Mike.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you could be with us. Need a little extra cash and are willing to sell your stuff? Make sure you're using the right platform. Tech columnist Jennifer Jolly, writing for USA Today, has a list of the most important insider tips. Number one, she says it's often best to sell big stuff locally on a local buy-sell trade page on Facebook Marketplace. You can make the sale local only and have buyers pick items up directly so you don't have to ship. Number two, she uses Mercari quite a bit because it feels like eBay used to, she says, with friendly buyers and lots of unique items. If you have an odd collection you're looking to offload for money, start with Mercari. Number three, if you have a junk drawer of old gadgets, she says you'll save a lot of time just selling them to declutter. Think of declutter like the guy that shows up to your garage sale and offers to buy all your tech, including old iPods, smartphones, and DVDs and more for one big flat price. ThredUp is an online consignment store, and right now there's a huge market for work, wedding, and warm weather wear. And if you're into photography, buy and sell on a site called MPD. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democratic and Republican negotiators are focusing on a narrow set of proposals designed to keep guns out of the hands of potentially dangerous young adults, with leaders of both parties saying they're encouraged by progress in the talks. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas on ABC.
Somebody who was, as a juvenile, had a criminal record, and then rolling that over into the background system once after they turn 18, so it wouldn't effectively be expunged. I think I said yesterday, I think is potentially a promising avenue.
Number two.
A Florida mother of three has been charged with manslaughter after her two-year-old son got hold of an unlocked handgun and fatally shot his father in their home. Orange County Sheriff John Mina says 28-year-old Maria Ayala has been charged.
The gun was not properly stored. In fact, it was easily accessible, even to a two-year-old.
Investigators initially thought the shooting was a suicide, but later learned Reggie Mabry had been shot in the back.
Number three.
No one received 50% of the vote in the Los Angeles mayor's race, so the top two finishers will face off in a November runoff, Democratic Congresswoman Karen Bass and first-time candidate Rick Caruso. Caruso is a billionaire Republican-turned-Democrat who made crime a big issue. Crime cost San Francisco District Attorney Chase Aboudin his job as residents voted overwhelmingly to recall him.
Voters were not asked to choose between criminal justice reform and something else. They were given an opportunity to voice their frustration and their outrage, and they took that opportunity.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed will now name a new DA with a special election to come. Vaccine experts advising the FDA have endorsed Novavax's COVID-19 vaccine, voting overwhelmingly that the shot's benefits outweigh its risks. The full FDA must next make a decision on authorizing the vaccine, followed by the CDC. 41 countries have already approved the Novavax shot. 4 months after the Kamila Valieva positive drug test and subsequent collapse at the Beijing Olympics, the age limit in figure skating is being raised. Members of the sport's governing body have voted to gradually increase the minimum age for senior competition from 15 to 17. The International Skating Union says the change is intended to protect the physical and mental health and emotional well-being of the skaters.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A panel of top judges in California has ruled that a bumblebee can be classified as a fish. The confusion kicked off 4 years ago when public interest groups asked California to include four types of bumblebee on its list of endangered species. The Wall Street Journal says farmers combed the text of California's endangered species law. It affords special protection to any endangered bird, mammal, fish, amphibia, or reptile. When lawmakers defined fish, they seemed to have all manners of seafood in mind. The law included clams, crabs, and lobsters with no backbone as fish. Before long, other animals were passed off as fish to get state protection. In fact, the appeals court ruled any invertebrate animal, whether found on land, sea, or air, could be a candidate for protection as a type of fish. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.